This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by a trio of additional reporters here from the website, including Scott Cooper, Marty Smith, and Tim Kearns. And we're going to be deployed around the North Shore on Thanksgiving Day and on Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. And let's begin, Scott, let's begin with you, as we're all on this huge conference call here on the website. And you'll be with the Swampscott Marblehead game on Thanksgiving Day.
That is correct, over in Marblehead, Bill. Now, it's just on paper or in the paper, it would seem that Marblehead has the edge. I mean, they're, 8-2, and Swampscott's been scuffling, even though they've won 3 in a row. But Jim Rudloff has emphasized every year when I talk to him for a preview, he goes, well, it doesn't matter if we're 0-10 and they're 10-0. The game is, you know, it's an emotional game, so you never can tell.
Well, you and you had a chance to talk with a few players prior to the game?
I did. I just wanted to touch on base with them with some of their favorite memories. Manning Sears from Marblehead said his favorite memory was Garrett Keogh's interception in the end zone that won the game. You know, they didn't win. They were ahead, obviously, but it clinched the game. Swansk was going for the tying touchdown. And Brian Graff said that was his favorite moment as well. Reed Cressy, one of the captains, said he always remember going to the games when he was a kid and how excited he was to finally be part of it himself. And I believe 2012, when Marblehead beat Swampscott on Thanksgiving to win the NEC and get a berth in the playoffs, he said that was one. And the Swampscott kids, Dominic Cottesbody, who was a linebacker, said he remembers going to the games as a little kid and he couldn't wait to get to high school to play, and he said that he's a sophomore, so his first varsity action last year was his biggest memory when dressing for the game last year. Colin Ferrari, the quarterback, he said it's always been a dream of his to play in the game. And Noah Carrero said that he just can't wait. Now, this is also going to be his first game. You know, he dressed for the game last year, but he didn't play. So he wants to get out there and make a tackle, and he also remembers going to the games as a kid, and he wanted to be part of the excitement. And Bobby Serino, the coach, his dad, Brian Sr., was a youth football coach in Swampscott for 17 years. So he would take him to the games every year and take them all over. And when Bob's older brother, Brian Jr., won the Thanksgiving game as a senior, Bobby came along. He won the Thanksgiving game as a senior. And his younger brother, Michael, won the Thanksgiving game as a senior. So he's got that little bit of a streak going. And also his son Robert won the Thanksgiving game as a senior. So he's got a little streak going. So he hopes to come out with a win on Thursday morning. But it's going to be tough. Marblehead is a very good team.
Did any of the kids tell you, Scott, that they didn't really care about Thanksgiving and it wasn't that big of a deal?
Say that again, Bill.
Did any of the kids say that Thanksgiving wasn't really that big of a deal and it wasn't that it didn't really matter to them?
There was no one that downplayed the day at all. Okay. And they were all extremely excited to get going. So,
all right.
You know, it's been a tough one. I mean, Swampscott has played them a couple times both during the regular season, once on Thanksgiving and once when they did that crazy thing with the schedule. And I believe they've lost 4, maybe 5 straight to Marblehead, so they're desperate to get a win. But it's going to be very, very difficult. Marblehead has a lot of weapons with Mark Cohen out of the backfield, Manning Sears, receiver, Harry Craig, and Keogh can run pretty well if he gets in any trouble. So it's going to be very difficult for Swampscott Thursday morning. But they're up for it. They're practicing. I can see them practicing right now under the lights.
All right. Well, Scott, I feel like you and I are on one side of the net on the tennis court, so let's send the ball over to the other side where Marty and Tim are standing by. Guys?
Excellent.
Bill, it's 117th, I think, meeting of these two teams, Beverly and Salem, and a couple of stick out in my mind for very weird off-the-field kind of things. The 100th anniversary game, which was played at Hurd after it had been remodeled, and they had that giant power outage, I think it was because we plugged in the equipment and the whole place went dark. And then,
Marty, don't blame us on that, right? I mean, it's a coincidence.
I think it was the coffee pot because I was drinking too much coffee that morning. And And now, of course, what's happened to Hurd and the fact that both the Danvers team and the Beverly team have been on the road pretty much all season puts a little twist onto this season. The other one that comes to mind was 1989 when we had a giant snowstorm, and I think it's the only time that game, the Beverly-Salem game's ever been postponed. And strangely enough, by the time the game was played on Saturday, it was short sleeves, and the field was actually a little bit muddy, and it was ringed by snow. It was kind of the weirdest way to do a football game, especially in late November.
Tim?
Hi, guys. I had a chance to talk to both Beverly captains, Jake Berry and Ryan Garrett, and both of them stressed the history, the tradition. You know, and I asked them, you know, what was it like when they first played, because the freshmen don't play, but coming up to sophomores and what that experience was like. And they said, watching the other guys play and how much they got into it and how much the tradition meant to them really added a special element to them, and now that they're seniors, is carrying on the tradition. And Ryan Gary mentioned how important it was to see alumni come back and ring the field and bring that energy. And then the old times, and he says, you know, you get guys who played and they're wearing their jerseys, and you got the old times who are wearing their Letterman jacket, and you can't help but get pumped up for the game. So there's that connection that the kids continually make to the past players, and again, as you guys said, don't want to let anybody down, and no one takes this game lightly. You know, Beverly had a couple of really disappointing losses this year, and you know, this is much from Candy and us. Well, they look beyond that. They can still end up with an excellent season at 8-3 if they can walk out of Salem on Thursday morning with a W. And I'll tell you, watching the practice today for about an hour and a half, it was spirited. You'd have thought it was the first week of camp, the way these kids were going, yeah, they hammer and tongue. So they're going to be ready. In fact, Roger Day, the offensive coordinator, made the comment, these guys are ready to play 4 days ago. So I can't imagine what they're going to be like on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, you just brought up something that didn't occur to me at all this season. This is the third year now of the new playoff system, so none of these guys have played in a Thanksgiving Day game that goes back into the old system where Thanksgiving was part of the regular season and part potentially of a championship. So those institutional memories are gone. These guys are making their own set of memories and have their own priority on the game. And you know, I think I've observed that there was a little bit of the steam let out of the game, and I think maybe now that those guys have graduated and moved on, maybe this is going to be the bounce back year.
I agree with you, Marty. Certainly, you know, Jake Berry mentioned that, you know, that 2010 year they played so well, and then they turned around and they lost on Thanksgiving Day to Salem, and then that had to gear themselves up again to go and play into the playoffs.
I had a chance to talk with the Lynn English, Lynn Classical players, and actually, Scott, I didn't talk to them about their childhood memories of that. I have done that in the past, though. I think that's a good question. But what I was struck with, they were just they just like the atmosphere of it. And they know that it's in Lynn, obviously, it's an inner city kind of situation. So it's people, kids that they probably know or know some of them, and maybe have played against them and so on. So, you know, whatever the game is, English, Classical, Swampscott, Marblehead, Beverly, Salem, and definitely there's some real natural rivalries, and those are three great series on the North Shore.
I think the vibe I got from the Marblehead kids is they do not want to take Swampscott lightly at all, because the disappointment that they had losing that Danvers game will be magnified times 10 if they don't come out with a win on Thanksgiving. And the Swampscott kids know they're gonna have to play, you know, a little bit over their heads for the entire game, maybe get a break, a couple of Marblehead turnovers, but they know that they are the underdogs going in, but they're excited to be in the be playing and, you know, going for the four straight wins. Serino said this season's two halves. They get about the first half, let's just rock it out in the second half and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. So,
you know, we do have a playoff post, and it will have a Thanksgiving post, excuse me, and it will have among the features, it'll have interviews with Bill Hamer Ken Perrone, and Paul Ingram, all former coaches, all with big Thanksgiving Day memories themselves. So if you're looking for some crisper, clearer memories, those guys would definitely have some firsthand memories as well, and that'll be on our website as well.
Looking forward to that, Bill.
The interview with Ken Perrone that you have posted has just got to be fascinating.
Well, we touched on a lot of things, including the strike year, and I always had a couple of questions that I, you know, we had talked obviously over the at that time and after that time, as you know, for many years, but it's still a couple of questions that I always felt still should be asked, and I had a chance to ask him those regarding the strike and that whole Sean Stellato's book apparently could very well become a movie at some point down the road. But anyways, it's a far-ranging kind of conversation, and I think really the headline out of that memory is here's Ken Perrone is going to miss the Salem-Beverly game for the first time in 42 years on Thanksgiving Day this year because his neighbor Danny Lynch's father passed away, and so he and his wife Cindy have been going to the Danvers games all year long here, and they will be with Danvers when they play in Gloucester on Thanksgiving Day, kind of in honor of that. I guess the dad was much loved, and Danny has other siblings, and so we obviously send along our thoughts for the Lynch family from Danvers during this time of year, and of course wish Danny the very best. He's had an incredible season, as you know, Scott, in some of those games that he's played this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, Bill, when you read Sean's book about the strike year, that's one of the things that comes through about Ken is the individual care that he had for his players and their own situations, their personal lives, and being a part of that. And Ken would probably be flattered if I said a father figure at this age, but you know, as a father for some of these guys.
Yeah. Well, Tim and Scott and Marty, anything else you guys want to touch on? We won't keep this too long, but we just wanted to gather everybody together before we go off our Tim and I will be together during the holidays here, but the rest of you, wherever you guys are. Any other thoughts from you guys on either games coming up this weekend? Or I got a question for you, Marty. You were with St. John's and Xaverian for so many years. Are you sure you don't want to go to Fenway Park Wednesday?
I think you got something going that night. Although it would be interesting to see football there.
Yeah, that was...
Bill, I think about Thanksgiving. You know, growing up in Lynn, we're going to be covering classical English. And I just remember going to the bowl as a young kid with friends and seeing 10,000-plus people sitting in Manning Bowl and English and classical performing out there. And you thought it was a Super Bowl every single Thanksgiving. The crowds were into it. I mean, it was just such a great festive morning, and what a way to end the season for both teams and for the community.
Yeah, guys, let me ask you this question here, just a football question. If you were to have to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to this current playoff system and format, what would you do, Scott, Tim?
I probably would give it a thumbs down, Bill. I don't really like the interruption in the middle of the season and, you know, non-playoff teams. Just let them play through.
Yeah. Well, you obviously saw the stark, vivid contrast, you know, following Marblehead and Swampscott both very closely, the difference between what happened to Swampscott when the playoffs began and to, because they weren't in the playoffs, and for Marblehead where they were in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's just, I think it just should go through the regular season, 10 or 11 games, and then just decide it. Then it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But, hey, you know, if that's what they want, that's what they'll do. So,
Tim, Marty?
Well, you know, that's the unfortunate thing about this whole playoff system. You know, there's always been this buildup through the entire season to the last game of the season, and that traditional rivalry, and you know, they for a lot of teams during the course of the season, they've taken away that shine, that they've taken away that anticipation, because once you play them once, you know, there's no great, okay, we see the play, we don't need to go on Thanksgiving. And we see what the playoff system has done to the gate of teams, you know, if you lose or you don't qualify in those three games that you got to fill in with because you're playing, you know, non-conference opponents, you're playing out of conference. It's like, you know, it's just not healthy for the schools that have to fall into that category, because they don't get any draws, they're not pulling in any gates. It hurts their ability to fund their programs, and then you're also weakening that crowd of Thanksgiving. That's generally a large crowd, you know, they're buying a lot of stuff, they're supporting the concession stand, and I don't think the MIAA took into consideration just how much that means to the individual member schools throughout the entire Commonwealth.
Yeah, I come down the same way as you guys do. Salem got a little bit of a bounce by being a playoff team this year, but you know, that didn't work out all that greatly for them either. And then you know, Beverly winds up playing in Haverhill on the last game of the regular season. It just, the air comes out of the balloon once you hit that playoff, virtually mid-season, and the teams that aren't in the playoffs rapidly get forgotten, and the teams that are in the playoffs, you get some nice stories. Danvers was a nice story this year. But once you hit that loser's bracket, you just kind of fade away, and the attention moves on to other things. And as Tim just said, by the time you get to Thanksgiving, the oomph has kind of sailed on them.
Yeah. And this isn't a knock on Hamilton Wenham or, you know, or knock on Swampscott, but the game that they played a week or so ago, you know, the non-playoff round, there must have been, if 100 people, maybe 150 at a Saturday afternoon football game, you know, give that, that's being generous. You know, and it's not a knock on Hamilton, Wenham, or Swampscott. It's just that, you know, they didn't, it would have been much better if someone, you know, a Northeastern Conference foe came in and played Swampscott, and Hamilton, Wenham had that date for someone from the Cape Ann League. So, you know, if, you know, people want to go out and see.
You know, and I don't even think I mean, I agree with you, Scott, but I think it's the fact that people look at their schedules, I think. I mean, some people do. You know, I live week to week and moment to moment. you know, but I mean, they look down the week, and it's the second week in November, and they know that they have Saugus at home in the old days, or they know they're going to be in Saugus on that day, or what, you know, whatever the game is, whether it's a big game or not, they know what it is. And they make their plans around that to some extent. And these games just kind of pop up on people. I don't think there's a lot of interest once you get out of the playoffs. And I go along with everything that everyone has said here. However, I have said this too, is I kind of like the idea, you know, like there were some big playoff crowds this year for these games. And I like the idea of playing last Friday or Saturday for the next round of the playoffs. But you know, if I were to take it all back, I think I'd go back to the way it was a few years ago, where you had the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, because then again, you could have a meaningful Thanksgiving Day game, as Swampscott and Marblehead have had so many times over the years, a meaningful game on Thanksgiving, and you try to get those Thanksgiving matchup teams back in the same conferences or wherever, so they can have meaningful games on Thanksgiving, because I think winning your league is the big deal. That's what I think. And I wish that was the way it was, because then your league schedule counts and postseason is based on that. And I don't know what the perfect system is, but to me, this doesn't work for like 80% of the teams. I mean, it fails 80% of the teams in my mind.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, guys, that's kind of a down note to end on, but maybe we could think of something really positive. Let's think of a real each one of us, one real positive memory from Thanksgiving, a really positive thing, something or other. Let me throw, who wants to jump in first?
I remember going to the,
go ahead.
I remember going to the games when I was a little kid, when it was the social event of the fall, you know, you would just go there and wait in line to get your tickets, and just it was great, and it was just fantastic. I enjoyed it, you know, from that perspective. So it's always got a little bit of, you know, just nostalgia for me. I've got family coming in from California. You know, my brother's coming in. He played for the Big Blue a million years ago, and he loves to get over to the game when he can. He wasn't here last year, but he's been here, you know, four or five times over Thanksgiving the last few years, and he likes to get over to the game. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It means a lot to a lot of people.
You know, and certainly, you know, like you said, Scott, it's an occasion. You go back and you run into the guys you played with. You run into other alumni. You run into family members you haven't seen when you go to the Thanksgiving Day game. You know, and it's just the natural rivalry is just there. There's an electricity in the air at these rivalry games. You just don't get at any other contest throughout the season, no matter how big the rivalry is. Thanksgiving just trumps it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a uniquely New England tradition that you just feel it when you walk into the stadium, and you get a situation when the Danvers band is there, or in Beverly Salem, we get the two schools' marching bands are out on the field at the same time. It's part of the whole pageantry of Thanksgiving, and this is coming up on 30 years, I think, that I've seen Thanksgiving Day games around here, and those. The details of the games may blur, but the memory of the environment and the atmosphere of it and just how pumped up everybody is what endures.
Yeah.
When I went to Maryland, I said, who do you guys play on Thanksgiving? They say, Thanksgiving. We've been down for 3 weeks. What? It's like, you got to be kidding me. No Thanksgiving Day game. I'm going home.
It is kind of unique to Massachusetts, and I think New Jersey, and I don't know what other states have it, but it's not all around the country, not even, of course, all around New England. But I agree with what Marty was saying. As you know, what I remember is in not having it when I was a kid is that's how special this is. And I, you know, when I got down to this area, I realized how special Thanksgiving football was and what it meant to people, coaches, players, and then of course the community as well. And I as being a, you know, doing the games on radio, Marty and you guys know that we're the first ones there on Thanksgiving morning to the stadium for the most part, except for the guy that unlocks the gate. And we're then likely to be about the last people to leave at the stadium as well. So you've seen it all. You're there for hours, and you see it when it's empty on a cold Thanksgiving morning or snowy Thanksgiving, and you see it when it's all ended, and you see all the whatever is strewn around the field, all the emotions and so on, and it's just an event, you know, a huge event, and it's an exciting thing to kind of be around or see. And it's just, like I said, I just like to see it amplified as much as possible. And I'm just discouraged with the way it's been the last couple of years with our current playoff system. But it's a really a special thing. You know, Marty, I think I remember, maybe Tim was there too, I'm not sure, but we were coming out of Bertram Field one time. I went up to meet you after one of our games, and there at the end of Thanksgiving, while most people are going home to their Thanksgiving dinner or probably already in their homes at Thanksgiving, we were meeting to exchange some equipment or whatever. You, me, Phil Stacy, we're in the parking lot, and the concession people offer us some free hot dogs, cold hot dogs, and we take them and we eat them because we're hungry on Thanksgiving Day. You know, Phil's going back to the office. We still had some other stuff to do too, and so we ate those hot dogs while other people are going back to their turkey, and we would too later on. But I mean, you just, other people don't have they don't have that happen to them at the end of the game. Yeah, and it's even different than getting that hot dog up from Roger at Swampscott at halftime at the press box there, Scott, too. You know, a little, you know.
Yes. I know that no hot dogs from Roger this year. Marblehead's a tough place to get, usually going to stand up in there, up in the top of the gym, so I'm going to be running back and forth. But, you know, it keeps you busy.
All right. Well, we'll let it go with that. So, guys, thank you. So, Scott Cooper, Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, I'm Bill Newell. We're all here on MSONewsSports.com talking Thanksgiving football on MSONewsSports.com.